Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, as we did, a time with family and friends and getting together. There's a story of a woman who came home from work just in time to catch the evening news. And when she turned on the TV, there was a breaking news story. A single car was traveling the wrong direction on the interstate during rush hour. And knowing that her husband was traveling on that interstate, she called him on his cell phone and said, "Please be on the lookout. There's a car going the wrong direction on the highway." And the frantic voice came back and said, "One car, there are hundreds of cars coming in the wrong direction." Life can certainly feel like that sometimes. You set off on a course and suddenly it seems like there is one thing after another. Sometimes life may indeed seem like we're heading upstream at times with one obstacle after another. All of us have had those happen to us at times. We hear about this wonderful life that we can have in Christ. We hear about the peace beyond understanding, the joy and the freedom we can have in Christ. And the Holy Spirit begins to transform us. But sometimes we just like to hang on to some of the old stuff in life as well. So I want to share some great news for you today. You can have victory in Jesus. And that is what today is all about. Christ the King Sunday is celebrated on the last Sunday before the new liturgical year begins. That is Advent, which begins next Sunday. And all that we have recognized and read throughout the past year comes down to this. Jesus is the Messiah, right?
Yes.
Right. He is Lord. Amen?
Amen?
All right, we can say that in the Episcopal Church. I want you to know that. He is King.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I read where one might look at the word king as being kind of aggressive or oppressive. And the response has been, well, he is God after all. We are not celebrating Christ our democratically elected leader Sunday. The kingdom of heaven, contrary to what many may want to believe, is not a democracy. God is God. He is loving and wants us to be molded, that is, transformed into his likeness to have a relationship as it was in the beginning. To look at it any other way is to mold God into what we want God to look like, and that's what got us in trouble the first time. So today I want us to look at just two aspects of this special day. One is that that is God's kingdom. I want to look at God's kingdom. And the other is God's truth. Our gospel today picks up the circumstances surrounding the arrest of Jesus and when he was taken before Pilate, the Roman governor. Any kind of accusation that would have been made pertaining to a king or a kingdom would certainly be of interest to Pilate. Rome serves Caesar. Any attempt to overthrow Caesar would be dealt with severely. So Jesus and Pilate have this time of dialogue, and it's interesting to see how Jesus handles that interrogation. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Simple question. And again, as Jesus did so many times, he answers the question with a question. "Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?" This whole scenario is strange for Pilate. Why would the Jews who hated Rome turn one of their own over to him? He could really care less unless it was a true rebellion against Rome. So when Jesus turns the question back, it creates some turmoil in Pilate's heart. The truth of the matter is that from Jesus' viewpoint, it's Pilate that's on trial here. God wants all people to come to him. So Pilate is the one who's soul searching here. Jesus wants to know what is going on in the heart. You see, Jesus, God incarnate, is not a king in a worldly terms as we like to paint kings as. His kingdom is a spiritual one, as well as a physical one. And I'll get to that in just a moment. And the Jews had come under the authority of Rome, specifically in this case, Pilate. So here is what we have going on here so far. Pilate is under the authority of Caesar. Jesus is in fact bringing his kingdom into the world in a spiritual sense. And Jesus told Pilate, "You are right in saying I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world." Note, he said of the world, not in the world. You see, if it is true that God created this world, and he did, then it is also true that mankind was made perfect to be in this world until sin, by free will, entered the picture. Then it also is true this is God's kingdom. Everyone in this world was created to have and be in fellowship with God, whether they know it or not, through Jesus Christ. And that has potential. Jesus knew that. So in the midst of the heaviest of circumstances, he lets Pilate know the truth of who he is. You see, his kingdom reigns in the hearts of those who call on him. And that is one of the points I want to make here. This theme picks up where we left off last week, our foundation. Our very existence should be grounded in kingdom living. That is, his cause becomes our cause. His mission becomes our mission. Every morning, everyone in the world wakes up to the world around them. Everyone will face issues that affect their lives. And none of those conditions that people live in around the globe are going to be perfect. For some, there is economic challenges. For some, there is joblessness. For some, they're battling alcohol or drug addictions. For some, they are battling sickness and disease. For some, it is the world they are battling for their very own freedom. But for all those people, God has a purpose for them in the midst of the world around them. For all those people, God, through Jesus Christ, has allowed his kingdom to come into this world so that everyone can find purpose and hope in that world. The Lord said in the Lord's Prayer that he taught us, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In the Greek, that literally means, "Come your kingdom, be done your will in this place where we are right now." He has called each and every one of us to make a difference, to set the example, to give real hope, to usher in real purpose that only God can give, no matter what position you find yourself in. You see, everyone, looks for something to stand on. An atheist even tries to look for something to stand on. When I worked in occupational safety and health at Lockheed Martin, one of my jobs was to review construction and facility drawings, including new construction that was coming in as programs changed in and changed out. And that new construction has to have firm foundation for the job that it was going to handle. It's no different in our spiritual lives. You see, when we begin putting our faith into action, when we start bringing God's kingdom into our lives, things happen. We have a solid foundation to work with to make a difference around us. And that is what Jesus was doing, even in the midst of turmoil around him. Imagine the turmoil that he was going through. Things in the natural, in our own scheme of things, didn't look good for Jesus. The world around him was in a state of chaos. He was going to die, and he knew that. But what he also knew was that through his death comes life. He knew that the turmoil his disciples were feeling would soon turn into something wonderful, something solid to build on. New life, being the example to the world around them. Hope in the midst of occupation, Freedom. The freedom that Christ brought is freedom from within. It is freedom from that which separates us from God, which is sin. And in that freedom, we receive victory in life. In that freedom comes healing and wholeness. In that freedom comes eternal life. In that freedom comes a willingness to make a difference around us. Remember last week when I mentioned the prophecies about Jesus that were spoken over the centuries, and they were absolutely fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and the odds of such prophecies even becoming slightly fulfilled are astronomical? Or what we heard today in Daniel is a perfect another example. There they have been many prophecies of Christ coming into the world. This prophetic word comes as Jesus sets up his kingdom on this world, his return to us. Now, if all the other prophetic words came true, is there any doubt or any reason to doubt that God's going to do what he said he's going to do? He's going to come back in our future. Again, whenever that happens. And I see that as a tremendous call to do what he calls us to do in the brief time that we have here. I once read an example that equated our time on earth compared to eternity. In this equation, the writer said that if for a moment we assume that eternity were only 8 million years, that's just so we can wrap our heads around a number, because we can't wrap our heads around eternity. If you just put that number at 8 million years, and if a person were to live to be 100 here on earth, their lifespan would equal 1/30th of a second on earth. Now, of course, compared to eternity, again, there is no measurement, so it's much, much narrower. Folks, we have but a short time here to do what God has called us to do. Jesus told Pilate, he told Pilate, I came into this world to testify to the truth. And Pilate, who's wrestling with what he's been hearing from Jesus, is wrestling with his own heart, asks the question that has rang through the ages. What is truth? Philosophers have been philosophizing, if that's a word, over the centuries about searching for truth. Volumes and volumes of books have been written on that one subject. We hear statements like, truth is relative. That's the big one. That truth is what is true for you. Or there is no truth. And I've probably said this before, but to say that there is no truth cannot be true. Because if it were true, that in itself would be a truth. And that statement would be contradicting itself, if you understand that. However, there is truth. And it is absolute. Theologian R.C. Sproul says this about defining truth. Truth is defined as that which corresponds to reality as perceived by God. Because God's perception of reality is never distorted. It's a perfect perception of reality. Look at it this way. He created all things. He made what was not into what is. Every scientific formula that's been discovered was already there, it was just discovered. Everything that has life and meaning, everything that is in this universe was created and has meaning by one God. And that one God is revealed in one person, Jesus Christ, who testifies to that truth. He came here to testify to that truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He reveals God's way. He reveals his truth. And he gives us his life. And he continues to testify to that truth through you and through me in the world around us. As we represent a loving God to a hurting world, we have this awesome and wonderful pleasure to be his ambassadors. Peter tells us in his first epistle, but you are a chosen people. Take that in. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Did you hear all of that? You're chosen. You are a royal priesthood. You are a body of Christ. We are a holy nation. You belong to God so that you can declare the praises of him. He called you and me out of darkness for a purpose. To experience kingdom living here and now. And to introduce this wonderful transformation that takes place in all of us who call on Christ to the world around us. Not forcing people to change. You cannot force faith on anyone. But we can't allow the world to see the kingdom of God in us. And when necessary, and the door is open, by all means, talk to people about this faith. Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men." On Thanksgiving, we drove 2 hours up the road to Leesburg to be with Debbie's sister, and we were able to take my mother-in-law along with us. And we stopped at a rest stop, a different rest stop, by the way, if you remember my sermon from a couple of weeks ago. I keep having these rest stop encounters for some reason. But a gentleman walking from his car as we were getting out of our car ahead of us, we shared Thanksgiving greetings. Oh, happy Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving. A lot of people on the road. Yes, a lot of people on the road. But as we passed the billboard, he and I went on to the men's room area, and we passed the billboard with the missing children on it. And this gentleman stopped, lifted up his hand toward those kids and prayed for them. And I said, "We really need to pray for the kids." He says, "Yes, we do." He says, "There's so much evil in the world around us." And as we left the area, we both looked at each other and just, you know, keep praying. That was a very innocent thing. Nothing obvious. It was obvious what we were doing, but it was just bridge the gap between he and I for that one brief encounter. Who knows who saw that? But we are called to offer them a glimpse of the kingdom that will never end. To give direction, to offer hope. God's kingdom is alive and well. And it transforms the world around us. Many like the idea of transformation, but many don't understand that transformation is not just something we do. It is birthing of something new in our lives. That's what being born again means, to be made new, to come alive in Christ. And if that foundation comes to life, we have a lifelong journey to go with it. Of seeing God move in many wonderful ways in our lives, in the lives of others around us. The reality of God's existence in our lives is seen by other people. The reality of him working through us by his Spirit. The reality of Jesus coming to us with an open door for all to come in. That, folks, is truth. That's his truth being released into the world. And he moves his truth known to us through his word and through the actions that he performs through us. We who know Christ should embrace our life in Christ. God wants to use us. He wants to use you. And we should expect nothing less than his best in our lives as we reach out to him. As we allow his kingdom to come alive in each of us every single day with the truth that he has for us to reveal. Receive that today. Look forward to it in the coming year. As we begin a new church year together, look forward to what God will do and wants to do through each and every one of you as you open up your life to him. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed the truth of who you are in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can receive that truth by your Spirit as we receive you into our lives through what Jesus Christ has done for us on that cross. So, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for all that you have for us and want to do in and through us as we carry out this new year in our church calendar, in the new year coming ahead of us. So, Father, we look with anticipation of what you will do through, not only through us as a parish, but through us as individuals and through the body of Christ in this community as we reach out to people around us. There are 300,000 people surrounding us in Bradenton and Sarasota, with only maybe a third or a quarter going to church on Sunday morning. That's a lot of fish to go catching, Father. So we ask that you open those doors for us, that you would guide us on that path that you have for us, even right where we are, that we can reveal the truth of your kingdom here and now in this place and around us, and allow people to experience the transformation that you bring in all of us who call on your name. We are truly transformed by your truth. So, Father, I thank you for that and ask you continue to help us grow in that. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.